And Lord, I felt so small. The legs beneath me weakened. I began to crawl. Confused and contented, I slithered around. With fears beyond me, I was lost, I was found.
Welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 29. Today we have Josh.
Hi.
When we also have Anthony.
Hello.
All right. So we're actually going to do a comic book talk instead of a comic book interview this week. And it's earlier. That's why I'm talking like Captain Kirk. Everybody's a little behind on their comics, I take it.
Yep.
I am. I've not read anything from this week.
You didn't read Infinity or any of that shit?
No, I've not read Infinity. I've not read New Avengers or Superior Spider-Man or Uncanny.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm reading these Villain Month titles and I don't know if I'm up to date or if I'm not, because I'm just like so confused because there's so many and I'm kind of getting sick and tired of it. It's a month.
Well, it's only one more week, so, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's start there. I actually read one of those Villains Month books. I read the Reverse Flash because I kind of had a discussion about Barry or Wally the other day on Twitter, so I was like, fuck it, I'll try Barry again. Let's check it out. I pick up this Reverse Flash book, and it's not even about Barry, really. It's about Iris's brother, who is the new Reverse Flash.
Yeah, it's about the guy.
And I kind of
the guy who is Reverse Flash.
I was like, really? This is different? And he's kind of...
Was you expecting Wally West to be Reverse Flash?
No, I was expecting a Thawne, whatever. Ebidwar.
Okay.
Ebidwar. I can't even say the guy's name. They say it in the Flashpoint movie, and I'm like, oh, that's how you say it. Yay.
Well, of course you picked the one book that I haven't read yet.
Really? Reverse Flash?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, man. He melds with the car, so he's got, like, metal vibrating with him at super speed. I don't know. I guess there's a part two, though, from what I can tell. Oh. It was definitely to be continued, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to carry on in, like, Flash number 24, whatever the next issue. Oh, Flash 25, it might have said. Mm-hmm. Not the next issue, but the issue after that.
Well, I know that it's like, Reverse Flash has kind of been in the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Up until now, so that's kind of cool that it's, like, hinting towards that.
Mm. I want to check out more because I was on the book when it first rebooted and I didn't like it. Something about Manipul's art and the stories. I know, and that's what everybody says. They're the main draw.
Hmm.
Well, the story I thought early on wasn't that great, but the art was I gotta keep buying this book because the panel layout and everything was just so awesome.
Yeah, he does the unique things. I'll give him that, and he works hard at what he does, but I'm not a fan. You know, that's not my cup of art.
Oh.
It's not really. but the thing that I did find out is that they've kind of rebooted all the rogues to actually have superpowers now instead of, you know, tools like they had. Like Captain Cold had a gun.
You know my feeling about some of those rogues.
No, I don't.
I don't know. Some of them are cool. Some of them are just,
Oh, like the trickster. It sucks. Yep.
Stupid trickster.
Captain Cold's cool, though. I like him.
So do I.
He's badass. Pyro's a freak. The Top was an interesting one before the reboot, I always thought. But alas. Okay. Let's move on to something else. Unless somebody, you got a different Villains Month book somebody wants to talk about?
I've read a few of them. I've not read that many, but I enjoyed Reverse Flash. Though Reverse Flash is one of the few that I've actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I picked up was the Joker one, Batman 23.1, which is written. Oh,
hello.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay. It's written by Andy Kubert. Yeah, Andy Kubert, and it's got art by Andy Clark. Andy Kubert, most people probably know from being an artist.
Yeah.
He's actually got a Damian miniseries coming out in a few months, which is written and drawn by him. Yeah, this issue's weird because it's like, I don't want it to go into Joker's origin too much, but I kind of also want it to be good, and this issue's not really very good. It's the Joker and his pet gorilla, which, because when he was a little kid, he used to have a plush toy made up thing monkey.
Okay.
And then I think he like loses it or something, so he gets himself a pet gorilla to try and like relive his childhood, I think. But what I kind of would have preferred is if they'd explained why someone cut the Joker's face off in Detective Comics number 1.
Mm-hmm.
That happened 2 years ago. I think that might have made a bit more sense rather than just do like this one shot story, because I don't really, because it's not even, it's like, it's not Joker, it's not Death of the Family deformed face Joker, it's classic looking Joker really, where he just looks like the old Joker. So you know, it's set before Detective number 1. It's got like nothing, it doesn't address at all why he's cut his face off. Did they ever explain, I asked this to my brother the other week, did they ever explain why someone cut the Joker's face off? And then
I just assumed it's because he asked somebody to.
Yeah, it was.
Is that pretty much it?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, there was no real, like, backstory, but it would have been kind of cool to either. I was thinking, I like your theory of where you would have liked that comic to go. I was thinking it would have been kind of cool if they would have showed, like, where he was during that, like, year he was away.
Yeah, that would have been good, actually, yeah.
Hmm. Good idea.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it that much.
The art
was okay. It wasn't like bad or anything. I just think the story just didn't really pull me in, considering it's like the Joker, one of the most famous villains that DC have. I kind of would have thought this would have been better. But
very interesting.
Yeah.
I never read it. I know everybody's surprised. What about you, Josh? You got a Forever is Evil, whatever. It was a fucking rip-off villain month from DC Comics you want to talk about?
Yeah. I can't remember now if it was 2 or 3. It was Batman and Robin, the Court of Owls one. I think that's been the best one.
What?
Of the villain month.
There's so a far. Court of Owls?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I really like that storyline. And it's kind of, it's cool because it's like, this is like a new, I guess, villain. So there's not a lot of like backstory into it.
Oh my God. Sorry. Kyle just popped on and his line says, I'm better than Josh.
Well, you know, okay, this is going to be a great opportunity. He can't be here yet again because he's watching, soccer.
It's football.
Hey,
that was a good impression of him, actually.
In 20 minutes, and I'm here. I was in the middle of Grand Theft Auto. I'm still here.
Ugh.
It sounds like he's too cool for school.
Well, maybe he's playing Grand
Theft Auto. So you want to know what? Fuck you, Kyle.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Okay, go back to Batman. Or Court of Owls.
Okay, so Batman and Robin, Court of Owls. It was cool because there's this... You go deeper into the, I guess, backstory of this secret group, and there's a lot of different kind of like flashback sequences, which was a little confusing because it jumps around in time so much. But it kind of, I don't know, it was just something cool, something different, building on this history of this group, which made it kind of cool.
Hmm. Okay. I got nothing once again. Didn't read it. Okay. All right. So I guess that's. Do you have anybody else getting more Forever Evil books?
Well, I read. I bought another one, but it's one Earl reviewed it for the website on Nerds of the Rocks. It was the Riddler issue, which I didn't think that was that good either. Actually,
really.
I mean, it was okay. I think I liked it a little bit more than the Joker one, maybe. But it's the timing of this one setting as well, because the Riddler is like the villain in the current story arc, Zero Year. But then a lot of this story is set in present day DC universe, because the Justice League are like on a different world or whatever. I'm not actually reading Forever Evil, so I'm not entirely sure. So this is set after Zero Year, so that's kind of weird and kind of makes it like confuses me a little bit, because DC continuity confuses me as it is, because they keep fucking changing it every 5 years or so. But yeah, it didn't really. I mean, I don't know.
You expected more, you got less.
I guess so.
You even paid more too, I bet.
Yeah, I bought for both of I bought two Villain Month comics, and I went for the 3D covers for both of them. So I paid $8 for two comics that I didn't really enjoy much.
That sucks.
Covers are quite pretty though.
The covers are very pretty. All right.
Well, this one got me because it had Scott Snyder's name on it, but much like that annual that I didn't like, it was just plotted by him, and it was written by someone else. I'll let me just find out who wrote it. It was written by Ray Fawkes. I think him and Snyder have worked together before, actually. But, yeah.
Interesting.
I think I'd give it a 4 out of 7.
Oh yeah, we didn't rate any of those, did we?
Oh man.
Whatever. They get we'll give them 4s across the board because they got pretty covers and they cost $4. How's that sound? No? Nobody likes that one.
Do you know what I think would be kind of cool, actually? What? If the title, like if all the Batman ones, if the covers connected, maybe. But then, I don't know. Maybe not. That wouldn't work because Batman's on each of the covers. Have you noticed that? How on the covers they're reusing the hero poses? Like, if you take one of your Villain Months issues and then you look at the back where they have all the covers, and then you look at where the heroes are posed, they basically reuse the same one. Like, if you look at the two Wonder Woman ones, Wonder Woman's in the same pose for both the Cheetara and the Firstborn issue.
Huh.
And it's the same with Flash as well, yeah.
Really?
Something I noticed, because, yeah.
Alrighty then.
I take it nobody else did that, was that just me? Okay.
I didn't notice, I just, like, whatever. I would like to pick a Marvel comic to talk about now that I thought was rather humorous this month. I don't think anybody here reads Thunderbolts, but
nope.
It's pretty good now. I find with the... I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Charles Soule? I don't know how to say your name, brother.
Soule.
I like that. Soul. Anyways, he's taken over, and it seems to be much better. I think I talked about this one of the last times, where they took a mission to go and kill off some mafia guys, because it's Punisher's turn to pick a mission, right? So they're all in this minivan together, and they're beaking off, and Deadpool's like, I can't take this, why don't we take the subway? He's like, plus I'm starving. And they're like, do you really think you could walk around the city dressed like that? And he says, no problem. Everyone usually just thinks I'm Spider-Man. Like, 2 times out of 10, I have to fight Hydro-Man. Anyway, so he takes off, and they're just like, whatever, fuck him, right? So then the story goes along, and this is probably the funniest thing I've ever seen Deadpool do. He's on the subway. He's just sitting there. Got his hands crossed on his lap. Little girl comes up and she's like, why are you riding the subway, Spider-Man? He's like, my web things ran out and I don't have enough money for a cab, and the subway is really the fastest way to get around. So then the little girl runs off. She goes and talks to her mommy, comes back and gives him $10. And he's like, thanks, kid. Takes the money and runs.
What a jerk.
I thought that was hilarious. Because he was right. Everybody thinks he's Spider-Man. Little girl's like, what are you doing here, Spider-Man?
Spider-Man with guns.
I don't know. I thought it was rather funny. And then by the end of the issue, I guess the bad guys have shown up on Earth while the Avengers are out in space fighting the builders, the Gengineers. Gengineers.
Whoa.
Anyways, that's a whole other cup of tea, which I might talk about. I'm not sure yet. Anyways, I got to give that one a 5 because it made me laugh a couple times in the book. I don't think this title's going to last much longer, to be honest with you. It's just one of those things. But I enjoy it. I think it's fun. Probably read good in a trade. And you guys sound so enthused!
I've not been reading Thunderbolts, so...
Really?
I don't really have an opinion on it.
What's up with that?
Eric, it's kind of the same every book you talk about. It seems like you're the only one that reads
That's right, because I'm the only one here with Flavor Flav!
I mean, I don't know what just happened.
Me neither. Just talking to Kyle. Okay, I got another one to talk about. It's a horror story, and it's brutal, and I'm going to get a little detailed about it.
Ooh.
Anyways, but somebody else gets to go next. Who went first last time? Wait, I went last? No. I don't even remember.
Josh,
just pick a book. Your turn, buddy.
Okay. Well, I still want to talk about some more Villain Month stuff because...
Oh, you Jehovah. Okay.
Because I haven't read Spider-Man yet, so...
Okay, then.
And I know you're going to love this, Eric.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be the 23rd.3 issue of Green Lantern.
No shit, huh? So is it Sinestro or Atrocitus?
Wait,
no, it's not Sinestro. I'm super mad, but it was decent. It's Black Hand.
Hmm.
Wait, Josh, I didn't know you liked Green Lantern.
Oh, you wait, brother. You're going to find out.
I know, that's why I said it, because of what you said about each interview. Oh, that's actually not been up yet, so no one will find that funny besides me.
Not
okay.
Yet.
Anyway, sorry, Josh. Carry on.
So basically, I mean, Black Hand has been around in the New 52, but he was killed again, and this time he's kind of reborn again. So it's kind of happening like as Forever Evil's happening. It's not like a flashback like some of these other Villain Month issues have been. But basically, these two guys at the morgue are dumping all these like remains, like as ashes, like into this big pit, and down comes a black ring and basically reforms these ashes into Black Hand. So it's kind of cool like to see that kind of happen, because usually it's just like these rings are just raising corpses.
Uncremated.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool like how that was kind of taken into effect.
Nobody ever stays dead.
No, but he didn't know like what the hell was going on, so he couldn't really remember stuff. His memory was kind of like fuzzy, and it, you know, started to come back. And then he kind of realized that like all hell had broken loose with this whole Forever Evil thing, and like the Justice League is gone, and he's ready to, you know, kind of join this war and, you know, raise these corpses and kind of get revenge at Hal Jordan. So it was a pretty decent issue, just for like a, if it's just a one shot, it is, but it seems like it's not fitting into the current story for Green Lantern right now, but, you know, it seems like there's mention that it could fit into a story at a later date, so, which would be kind of cool.
Okay, then. That just seems weird to me. How would he want to, if the criminal syndicate has already disposed of the Justice League, which we didn't see, but they just said that they did. How could the Black Hand take revenge on Green Lantern? Unless the Justice League comes back and wins the day.
Well, that's the thing. Obviously they are.
Mm. Spoilers, I guess.
Where the hell has, like, where's Hell been in this whole, like, situation?
Humping Wonder Woman's leg, I'm assuming. Because they all got their butts whooped, didn't they? Or did they?
Yeah, but I feel like he wasn't, like, even involved in any of, like, the Justice, because he wasn't around, really, for the Justice League, like, Trinity War.
Well, no? Thought he was.
I feel he wasn't, but...
Didn't Green Lantern leave the Justice League before the Throne of Atlantis storyline?
Yeah.
Did he come back?
Really?
Because I stopped reading Justice League before Throne of Atlantis, so I'm sure the last one I read, he was on about leaving the team. But since I haven't read one since then, I don't know. So.
Okay.
Sorry, that wasn't helpful.
No, it's all right. It just explains to me, you know, how confusing the continuity is. Or continuity. Whatever, man. What would you rate that book, Josh?
Oh man, we're rating, huh? I'm gonna give it a 6. It was pretty good. Okay. I enjoyed it.
I'm gonna say you're biased.
Okay.
But that's okay. You like Green Lantern. This side.
I would give all the Villain Months a 6. There was a couple that I gave a 3 for Green Lantern.
Whoa, so. Really? That's low blows. That's,
yeah, well,
that's less than 50%. That's hard.
Josh, did you read the Grodd issue?
I haven't read any of the Flash ones yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. So. I just wanted to know if you disliked it, because I didn't like that one either. Eric, did you read Grodd?
No, the only one I read was the Reverse Flash.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
I mean, I have it in my stack. It's gonna be red.
Okay.
So.
I see. I think whose turn is it, Anthony? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. X-Men, Battle of the Atom.
Which part?
Parts 1-3, because I've not read part 4 yet. Although I'm mostly gonna be talking about the first part.
Okay.
And like the basic story. But yeah. there's a lot of X-Men teams in the Marvel.
We're losing you, brother.
Yep.
Just at the minute.
There we go. Okay. Start over. Sorry, there was nothing there for like 30 seconds. Oh, see again.
Is the an X-Men team from the future has come to the present to tell the present day X-Men that the X-Men from the past need to go back to the past because them being in the present is a really bad idea and it's messing up the time stream. So there's a lot of time traveling, there's a lot of Sentinels, there's a lot of melodrama. Basically, it's your pretty standard X-Men event story, and it's pretty cool. The first battle of the issue was written by Bendis. It's got about 20 or so pages by Frank Cho, and then the rest of it is by Stuart Immonen, probably because Frank Cho couldn't keep up with his deadlines. That's a little bit weird, but... And then...
Damn it. It's almost... Come on!
The second part of it was in All New X-Men number... In which issue, I think, Jean, young Jean and Cyclops do a runner because there's a big fight between the X-Men of the future and the rest of the X-Men because, you know, they're arguing because they disagree on stuff because...
That's what they do, they're X-Men.
Yeah, that is what they do. So then... But these... The X-Men from the future are like, it's kind of, it's weird because there's like an Xavier, even though he's dead. There's a Jean Grey. There's an Iceman who's like a really, watch, I'm trying to find a character list. There's like an Iceman from the future who's like this really monstrous thing. There's a Beast who's had another mutation. I think one of them's Kitty, and Deadpool's in there as well.
Yeah.
I think that was most of them. And then there's the third part, which was in Brian Wood's X-Men number 5, is a lot about Jean and Cyclops being on the run from the other two X-Men teams and the other X-Men teams hunting them. And see, 1 second. Yeah, it ends with the Uncanny X-Men confronting Cyclops and Jean, because there's like 4 X-Men teams involved, I think. Yeah, because there's one, there's the past, there's the future, there's Uncanny, there's All New, and then you got the rest of the school, yeah, so.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you basically nailed it, and then, you know, overall, the whole thing, it's been a debate on whether they should send them back or not.
Yeah.
Would you, blah, 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 blah. And the thing, you know what I didn't like, man? Is how Beast and Jean had hooked up, you know, like what if kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they did that. And now she's fucking batting her eyelashes at Scotty. Fuck that guy, man. I don't like Cyclops. I never have.
So, X-Men melodrama.
Yeah, man.
I have an X-Men story. We bought some drama.
Big time. Something sketchy with those X-Men from the future, though. I mean, why would the... Like, I get it that Iceman's an omni-mutant and he still hasn't reached his full potential, right? But to become a hulking, almost mindless, abominable snowman? Yikes. Who did that to him? That Xavier on the team is supposed to be Legion's son? Well, that's what everybody figures anyways.
Oh, right.
Right? And, okay. Well, Deadpool's Deadpool. Kitty's Kitty, but she's super old. And Jean doesn't look that old, right? Like the future Jean?
Yeah.
Somebody was asking me, they're like, how does this work? Like, how can Jean from the future come to the past to send her back if she's already died? And I'm like, you dumbass, that's the one who stays in the present and goes, right? That's the way I got it figured.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's going to be explained. The Jean from the future is also wearing the Zorn mask, I'm assuming, to keep the Phoenix Force at bay, maybe? The super powers getting too out of control?
Or to help amplify her powers? Or maybe her powers are too over-amped and she needs it as a dull, like a buffer.
Yeah, maybe.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, I think it's...
X-Men.
I think it was mentioned because she took it off for a few panels, but then she's like, yeah, I have to put this back on now or bad things will happen. So
weird. Yeah, I've been reading those. I don't mind it so far. But like you said, it's
pretty
fucking cheesy, like teeny bop cheesy. Reminds me of Ultimate Spider-Man a little bit.
I think when it's finished that I'm probably just going to stick with All New X-Men and drop Uncanny and Brian Wood's X-Men. It's not that I'm not enjoying them, it's just All New X-Men seems to be the one I enjoy. the most every month.
Really? I enjoy Wolverine and the X-Men. That's my favorite of them.
Yeah, I don't... I don't actually read that one.
It's
so
crazy, man. It's fucking... Yeah. It's a blast. It's so bizarre. It's like an X-Men book should be, I think. Not always with the melodrama. Like, I mean, you get a mutant called Snot. This guy, he blows snot out of his nose. That's his mutant ability.
That's a pretty awesome ability. That's pretty jealous.
Pretty gross and pretty awesome. I love it. Anyways... Nice one, man. What would you rate that little run of halfway through X-Men?
I think a 5.
Ooh, a 5. All right.
Yeah. It's not quite good enough for a 6. I think a 5 is fair, actually.
It's a true crossover, though, because all the X-Men titles are involved.
There's a lot of X-Men involved, but, you know, kind of what you'd expect from the X-Men these days.
Mm. Well, actually, I think that their popularity has bumped up a little bit in the comic book world. They were pretty dope for me for a while, but the switch up of creators and stuff has helped reinvigorate a lot of the stuff. Like Jason Aaron's Thor. Did you read the last issue of that? Fucking amazing. This guy just got it, like, one after another with Thor. I don't know. He gets Thor. Heavy metal and beer. That's what you need to know about Thor. That's pretty awesome, man. Okay, I guess it's my turn. Do you guys want the horror story, or should I talk about Infinity?
Talk about the horror story, because I'm behind on Infinity.
Okay. So here I was. I had a little rant about Cross a couple weeks back. Yada yada. I got this to the 2013 special. I guess it'd be the annual. It's a done-in-one story. And it doesn't really have that much gore in it, man, but it's probably one of the scariest Cross comics I've ever read.
Whoa.
Basically, there's this couple. There's a dude and a girl. And the girl's a redhead. And I don't know, that comes into play later. Anyways, they're trying to run away from these Crossed, as per usual, right? The Crossed are right behind them. And they see this massive fucking rig show up, man. It's got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trailers it's pulling. Great big semi. It's got barbed wire all around the edges. And all across the top are these chicks with guns, and they're shooting at the Crossed. He's like, this is... And then you get in a commentary from the driver of the truck. I don't think you ever get his name. Anyways, this guy's a douchebag. These guys show up, they're like, let us on the truck. And he's like, see, here's the rules. I only let girls on the truck. And the guy's like, why do you only let girls on the truck? He's like, well, I plan on repopulating the earth with all these women, you know, so that we can survive this Crossed epidemic. And the guy's like, what? So it's your personal rape train? And the guy's like, no, it's not a rape train. I don't hit on the girls. They all come to me. Of course, it's his own personal rape train, right? He plays a psychological game on all these chicks. If you come up to the cabin and fuck this dude, then you get a bigger gun, a better station on the trucks, shit like that. Your life moves up and down. It's like a social order, I guess you could say. So the guy's like, you can't come on, just girls only. And the dude's like, what do you mean, you fucker? And the chick, they're in love, right? The couple that are trying to get on this truck, obviously they're in love. And the chick's like, I gotta think fast. So she tells the driver that her husband's gay. He's actually gay. So the guy's like, really? Drops his pants. He's like, come on over. If you can suck my dick, I'll let you on the truck. The guy's like, all the caption says is, for her. For her. And then the driver fucking smacks the dude. Push! Don't put my knob in your mouth, you fucking retard. Get on the truck. You know, you proved it. You're gay. So then the guy gets on the truck. And of course, you know, it says it takes her 3 weeks before the new girl goes up to the cabin. But it turns out it was a plan between her and her husband to find out where this guy keeps the keys in the truck so they can fucking steal the rig and let everybody go. Right? They want to take over. Eventually, this guy gets wind of the plan. And he fucking takes out the husband guy and makes her watch, right? Thing was, she was pregnant when she got onto this thing. So when she has the baby, I don't know what they do with it. They kill her. They kill the baby. They kill the dude. They kill the baby. And now the girl's all fucking... She shuts down for a little while, right? Next thing you know, she's up in the cabin every night, man. She's his number one favorite. She's mentally broken. Like, he broke her, right? And after a while, she figures out how to get to the top of the food chain, basically, of the social order. And then one day, they get attacked by the Crossed. They think they get attacked by the Crossed. She turns around, fucking kneecaps this guy, guts him, throws him to the Crossed, takes the keys to the truck because he talks in his sleep, and drives away. And at the end it says, for him. She did it all for her husband. Anyways.
How cute.
Isn't that horrific, though? I was like, this is fucking nasty, man. Anyways. Pretty good horror book. For, like, seriously, no gore. For a book that's known for gore. I'm gonna give it a 6.
Wow.
Anyways, that was the most long-winded recap of a book I've ever done. I don't know if I'll ever do that again. I pretty much spoiled it, so you guys don't have to read it. But I hope you're scared for the rape train.
I'm pretty nervous.
I'm so...
Yeah, it made me a little uncomfortable myself. I was like, that's fucking creepy, weird. But, you know, She turned around and fucking took it right back at him. I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight now.
Oh, I don't know. It's more of a... Yeah, whatever. It's the rape train.
I'm going to cry myself to sleep.
Okay, make fun of me then. Fuck you guys. I got nothing else to say about it. Somebody else. Whose turn is it? Damn it. Josh, talk about a DC comic then, you bastard.
I'm going to hold that off for my third book. I'm going to talk about Ghosted number 3.
Ghosted? Alright.
I really like this book. I'm glad I stumbled upon it. Because it's pretty cool. I get this like Scooby-Doo kind of vibe, but way cooler. It's this team, like, you know, just trying to steal this ghost in this mansion, and this mansion is almost like another character. So there's a lot of shit going down. And some of these ghosts are pretty weird. So there's like, you know, really there hasn't been any interaction with any ghosts yet, and I mean only in the first two issues, and it kind of starts taking effect in this issue a little bit. And you know, there's a lot of different things of like with voodoo and magic trying to get these ghosts to come out. And you know, there's just the art in this book is just phenomenal. The colors, the way everything's depicted, the ghosts, everything is just is really cool, and it makes liking this book just kind of easy. So I don't know, it's just there's so many cool different aspects about it that I like, and the story, you know, it just keeps building, and there's a lot of suspense that you want to almost find out the answers right now, because it's a little frustrating, but at the same time it's kind of cool. I don't want to spoil really anything, but I'm enjoying it. I can't wait for the next one. Give it 6 out of 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I
heard that on Twitter, R.L. Stein gave props to Ghosted as well, and
that's how I found out about it.
It's pretty good props, man. You know, yeah. The guy who created Goosebumps. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Goosebumps.
I'm familiar with Goosebumps. Nice. I'm not that young.
I didn't say you were. I just wasn't sure if they had it over there in the jolly land of England.
Yeah, we had the TV show on the box.
God damn it. Anyways. Okay, cool, man. Ghost.
Everyone's just not as old as you.
I know. My wife is moving chairs around upstairs, and it's pissing me off. I can even hear her sweeping. That's annoying. Stop it. God damn it. All right. Whose turn is it? Anthony?
Okay, I'm gonna have to talk about another DC book.
Oh,
it's not a villain's monk title. Don't worry.
It's okay.
But it is a Batman book.
It's okay.
It's Batman Black and White number 1, which is Batman Black and White is an anthology series where it's a number of shorts by different creators. They did a run of them in the 90s or the noughties, I think, and they're doing a new run now with some different creators. There's the first story.
What the fuck was that?
Is written by Chip Kidd and Michael Cho. The second one is written and illustrated by Neil Adams. The third is written by Maris Wicks and illustrated by Joe Quinnos. The fourth is written by John Arcudi, I can't pronounce his name, and illustrated by Sean Murphy from The Wake. And the last one is written by Harold Mackie and illustrated by Chris Samnee. Right.
Really?
Basically, yeah, Chris Samnee on Batman. Basically, some of these are good and some of these are not very good. there's Chris Samnee one, the Batman story, this the final one, is a really good Batman story, because it's like his style actually really suits like the black and white, the noir tone it's set in. But then there's the Neil Adams story, which is just weird, and I didn't really get it because it's like kind of like Batman having a hallucinogenic dream, and it's just kind of crap, basically. And then, there's the Sean Murphy one, which I don't know what it is. I think I'm missing the deal with Sean Murphy because he seems to be like kind of like a bit like a popular artist, but I don't know what it is about his art that like everyone gets all excited about. But
I mean, the artist community gets excited about him.
Yeah,
I think it's
because of Punk Rock Jesus, but I don't.
I think it's his use of layouts and stuff more than his.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's not bad art. It's quite interesting art. It's just,
I think his ability as a storyteller is his main strength.
Yeah. But I think if you're looking for some DC stuff that isn't a Villains Month title, mm-hmm. then Batman Black and White might quench your thirst for some DC stories.
I did see that on the shelf last week, and I was like, yeah, they're doing that again. Huh? I remember when it first came out, those were kind of cool. But those were all like Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale and Jim Lee and pretty much knew everybody who was on the book. Like half the list that you just named, I think I only recognized two of the names, really. Who the hell is Chip Kidd?
Chip Kidd, he did a graphic novel called Batman Death by Design. He also designed some of the... He's also done some design work for DC covers. Like, I think he did the cover design for All-Star Superman. Not the artwork. I mean, the artwork was Frank Quitely, but, you know, with the logo and stuff.
Right.
He did logo design for All-Star Superman. Okay. And I think he did the logo design for some of the Batman titles when Greg Rucker and Ed Brubaker were on the titles.
There's an era gone. I heard that shit was good, too.
Yeah, I keep meaning to read the Batman stuff. I'm going to get around to it one day. The thing with Batman Black and White is it is a $4.99 book, and which is quite a lot considering it's a book full of shorts and some of... It's about half and half on quality. Mm-hmm. But
still, if it's the size of an annual, $5, it almost sounds right. Like that Cross book I was telling you about, the fucking cover price on it is $6, man. And my shop charged me 7.25. I was like, you motherfuckers.
Wow.
I wasn't very impressed with that. Comic books are just going to keep going up in price. I don't ever see the prices going down. They used to do the $1 jump on point issues? I think Marvel used to do those. Like right back when like Mark Waid was on Fantastic Four in the beginning. I think that was the last one I ever remember seeing. They need to do more of that
stuff. I think I have one of them, actually. Yeah. I think I have the Avengers one. That may be written by maybe not.
I have no idea what you just said.
Before Bendis took over.
Oh, okay.
Run on Avengers, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Back before he was. Did I cut out? Is that why you didn't hear me?
Yeah.
I think I'm up.
Yeah, no, you did.
Oh, okay.
You cut out a little bit on Battle of the Atom, but it came back in and it sounded like listening to an old time radio, so I just let it roll.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Anyway, Batman Black and White, I think I'm going to give it a 5 because Chris Samney art is pretty nice. I like his art.
I would like to see this. Speaking of Chris Samney, though, I don't want to talk about Daredevil. The ending was so sad. Is it my turn?
Issue 31. I've not read that yet.
Oh, dude, I will not talk about Daredevil number 31. You're going
to
cry.
Oh, but if the ending's sad, then that means I don't want to read it now.
You're
because I don't
cry.
Want to
I almost cried.
Whoa.
Almost. I don't fucking cry at comic books. Except for when
You have no soul.
Yeah, that's right. I picked up a trade last week. The RoboCop trade. Fuck, I don't have the book here, but I want to talk about it anyways. I think it was Boom. I think. It's the script, the actual script, beat by beat, that Frank Miller wrote for RoboCop 2, reinterpreted for comic book by Stephen Grant as the writer, and Juan Jose Rip as the art. And I'm a big fan of Juan's artwork. It's so hyper-detailed. He seems to be doing a lot of work all over the place these days, but I was surprised I missed this book altogether because it was awesome. Much better than the movie. Like, you get more of a feeling of how old Detroit feels in the book than you'd ever do in the movie. Like, the very first commercial, have you guys seen RoboCop 2?
Yes, a while ago, but I have seen it.
The movie opens up with a commercial about it's like an electric seat for people who steal your car. You get in the car and the clamps go off if you're not DNA coded for the car. Burns you up. It smokes the guy, right? This is how the movie starts. Now, that part's like halfway through the book, because there's a lot more commercials in the book that are just... It's just awesome. I don't know how to explain it. Gives you a better feeling of how gritty and dirty and vile this place is for when RoboCops are roaming around, right? The actual police strikes in there. The difference is, instead of the old man being the main villain, it's actually the girl. This girl who takes over, whatever. She ends up... they build a different robot. Instead of putting a junkie in there, they put a super soldier. Well, like, not a soldier, but a... A mercenary, I guess you could say. A crazy mercenary. He takes on RoboCop near the beginning of the book. Fucking here gets his head blown off. Like, because he goes kamikaze on fucking RoboCop, man. Pretty much pulls some grenades, jumps and hugs RoboCop, fucking blows up. RoboCop's like, oh, look what you did to yourself. Anyways, so this chick ends up taking this guy and putting him in the new robot they build, kind of like the movie. But this guy can't handle it either. Like Kane couldn't, I guess. So then she ends up uploading her fucking brain into it, and then all hell breaks loose, man, and it's like the end of Man of Steel with the fucking blowing shit up and blah, blah. Oh, it's just awesome. And then it was over, and it was the best $15 I ever spent. And, just so you know, if anybody does go out and look for that book, that's part two. They're doing RoboCop 2. They're doing RoboCop 3 script 2 right now, which you can find on Comixology or at your comic store. Which is also pretty good. Which makes more sense to me now, because I actually read the first two issues of that, and I was like, how the fuck, how come he's biased? What the fuck happened, right? And then you read the actual, the RoboCop 2 script for comic, makes this part 3 make much more sense. Anyways, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 7, because I fucking love RoboCop, I love Juan Jose, I love Stephen Grant, Frank Miller rocks. Did I say I love RoboCop? RoboCop.
You love Detroit, too.
I like old Detroit. Old Detroit has a disease. It's called crime. Anyways, I like the RoboCop.
I heard I make an appearance in that. What? Don't I?
Do you? I don't think so. Have you guys seen the trailers for the new one? It doesn't look too not yet, no. bad, man. I'm like, this is a little bit different, but...
Isn't Gary Oldman in it?
I think so, yeah. And Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. That's... Batman and Gordon in a RoboCop film.
I like the black suit.
Yes, cool. I was going to say that the black suit looks pretty damn cool, actually. And they have a little more with his kid and son, or whatever, his kid, his wife and son, it looks like from the trailer. I think it's going to be a little bit better than the original. I mean, the original was all, I don't even know how to explain it. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm pretty pumped for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too, in 2014. So anyways... What are we back to, Josh? Last one, big guy?
Already?
Oh, you guys running out of books to talk about?
I know. I just feel like these Villain Month titles are all kind of the same.
Oh, well, that's surprising.
This, all right, whoever's listening to this, that was coming from the DC fan of the show.
Yes, so. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Good point.
Well, I'll talk about Batman and Robin, the Two-Face... issue. It was pretty cool because the way that the issue basically was, it's kind of like going on with the current events with Justice League gone and Gotham City just being, you know, overrun with all the forever evil stuff kind of going on, and basically, you know, he's trying to decide if he wants to be, you know, part of like the villains or try to be the, I guess, quote unquote, white knight and try to save Gotham from, you know, burning itself to the ground in every Two-Face kind of manner with flipping the coin and that sort of thing. I was glad it didn't kind of go back and do like a origin or prior to events because, it just seems like a lot of these will go back and do those flashbacks. I enjoy the ones that are kind of going on right now and dealing with the situation. In the DC universe, so pretty much he's trying to decide what he wants to do. We do get a couple interesting flashbacks, but you know, mostly it's happening in the present. And it was cool with the art when, you know, he would decide, you know, if the coin would, I guess, flip to the good side, it would always show like the good side of his face in the art. And then it was kind of cool when the bad decision was being made, it would show his, you know, evil side. So it was kind of like a little thing in there that I enjoyed with the art that made it pretty interesting.
Gimmick. I like it.
You know, it seems like, you know, with the Dark Knight movie that, you know, Two-Face was all around with that. And so everyone kind of knows what's going on with him and his origin. So it was nice seeing him kind of trying to want to save Gotham. I think deep down his character wanted to be the savior, but, you know, he has this dual personality, so he has to let the coin decide at the end of the day, and it made for an interesting issue.
Cool. Have you ever read Arkham Asylum, Josh?
Yes.
I like what they did to him in that one. Have you read it, Anthony?
Yes, yeah, I have.
Where they give him a deck, so he has 52 choices to pick from, like a deck of cards instead of the coin, and he's always pissing his pants. Yeah, they fucked him up pretty good in that book.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. I've always liked Two-Face. Best part of the Dark Knight, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's an interesting character because...
Most overrated.
Underrated.
Underrated, yes. Good call.
Yes.
No doubt.
He's just interesting because you never know kind of what's going to happen. It's always up to chance. Mm.
Yeah, I guess. Or the writer.
Yeah.
You think, hey man, do you think the writers who write Two-Face get a coin and they like flip it? Let's see what he does.
That would be awesome. I hope they do. Hmm.
You'll have to ask Scott Snyder next time you talk to him. Right?
You bastard. What,
make it. No, I think that'd be a good idea. Like, give him that suggestion. See if he does it.
I should.
Yeah, he'll be like, we'll do that in year two.
Yes.
Josh, have you met Scott Snyder?
I have not.
Well, do you want to know something?
Oh.
Oh boy.
I've met Scott Snyder.
Aha!
Oh!
Yeah, I bumped into him about 3 times in 1 weekend. I say bumped into him. I went to 2 signings and he was in a bar.
Nice.
So I got a picture with him and he signed some of my stuff.
That's fucking awesome.
And he's, you know, when you hear about him being like a really nice guy, he really is like a nice, straight up guy. Mm. So he's pretty cool.
Did you guys listen to the last Batman on Batman with Snyder and...
No, I've got like 25 of them downloaded, but I haven't got around to listening to them yet. So I do want to...
You can skip the ones where he's not talking to creators if you want. Like, he does a couple commentaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what got me interested. Like, he's got some really good guests on that show. Like, he's got people like Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, and then he'll have like Grant Morrison on as well, and then like Adam West is on there. Well, that's like, you know,
he's had Grant Morrison on twice now. A couple Snyder twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when he had Mark Hamill on even. Like, yeah, it's fucking probably it's the podcast we aspire to be, but we're just not. You know?
Like, I don't really care about Kevin Smith that much, but the guests he have on, do like have interest in, so
I agree. Like, I'm not a huge Batman fan, but it's my favorite podcast. I listen to it all the time. I'm like Snyder and Capullo. Oh, and they kind of tell the story about how when they first met and they didn't get along and stuff. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to
listen to that. Yeah, it's a good one. I enjoyed it. What would you rate your book that we were talking about before we went on a tangent about Scott Snyder and your bum?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'd probably give it a 5 out of 7.
I can live with that. Nice.
Before we wrap up, I just have a question. Did either of you two read the Mr. Freeze?
No.
Book. Nope. Because I was tempted, but I never picked it up.
Nope.
No? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't.
No? Really?
Oh. Because I posted in the IGN group, like, asking if anyone read it, and would you recommend it, and no one responded to it, so I'm guessing, like, nobody read it.
Wow.
But, yeah.
I think a lot of DC fans have kind of jumped the wagon this month. Just want everything to get back on track.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with Forever Evil? Forever Evil? Where's the next issue? You'd think they'd be out.
That's what's so weird about it, and it kind of pisses me off. It's like they're saying all this stuff about it. I'm like, I don't even remember what happened because I feel like I've read so many books.
The gap's too big. That's why I'm enjoying Infinity, because you get a part every week. Sure, it's an Avengers crossover and an event, and I'm sure when they fucking make it into a hardcover, it's going to have Infinity, New Avengers, and Avengers in it. Which reminds me, Anthony, make sure you read New Avengers 10 before you read Infinity 3, because it makes more sense.
Oh, wait, read New Avengers before Infinity 3?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I planned on doing that, yeah. But yeah, I will.
It's kind of the way the map goes, you know, if you watch the chart. The chart that they put in every book so you know which books to read next.
Yeah.
People complaining that they don't know which books to read. Kiss my ass.
Yeah. Someone actually pointed out to me the covers are actually color coordinated as well. Like the first parts are in blue, I think, and then the part twos are in red.
Yeah, and then the third part's yellow.
Part threes. Yeah.
Like the gems.
I didn't notice.
Awesome.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, Revelation City.
I didn't even notice they were color coordinated until someone actually pointed it out. I'm like, oh, my God, you're right. That's so cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
Color of Infinity
Gem. Nice. Holy shit, dude. Yeah, I wish you'd have read those. We could have talked about it. The shit goes down. Anyways, it's a good book. Enjoy it. And I like the fact that, you know, it's easier to keep up with because it's only a week in between each part. Anyways.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. What the fuck was I going to say? Ugh. You guys are all out of books, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
I got an idea. Well, we could spend a whole hour talking about the people that we met. I met Grant Morrison, you fuckers. How about that?
Oh.
Yeah, we did. I said, thank you for killing Batman. He laughed at me and said, keep reading, lad. I was like, all right. That was cool. Yeah, that's the biggest comic guy I've ever met. Actually, no, the biggest comic guy I ever met was J. Michael Straczynski. I couldn't go near him because the guy's like 7 feet tall. Did you know that? He's a monster.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I know. I just about walked into Robert Rodriguez at the Comic-Con, too. I'm like, why the fuck are all these people? Oh, that guy looks familiar. Robert Rodriguez. Pretty sure I pulled
him. See, I'm so bad at that stuff. I could run into people and not even know who they are.
Yeah. That's what I said.
I'm so bad with faces.
I know. I had the same problem, man. Like, when I went there, I wasn't really... Like, I went to the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
A lot of the creators, I had no idea what they look like. I just knew their names and stuff. Like, I met Chris Caruso, the guy who did... he used to do the little backups of mini-Hulks and stuff like that. He created G-Man for Image Comics. Anyways, I walked up and I'm like, are you Chris Caruso? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, sorry, man, I don't know what you look like. I feel like an asshole, though, because there's a big fucking tag right there on your table that says Chris Caruso. I'm a jackass. Whatever. First person I met, though, at that con was Lou Ferrigno. I recognized him right off the
bat. Oh.
That was
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whatever, I haven't met Mark Waid. I would like to meet Mark Waid.
Oh, I've met Mark Waid.
I know you have, you fucker.
I kind of... Yeah, I get a... Well, when I meet creators, I get really starstruck.
Because so even though
the kind of... Yeah, it's like... It's weird because they're like... They're not famous outside the comic book community. Like, if I told any of my friends, like, yeah, I met Mark Waid, they'd be like, who's that? I don't know who that is. But if I told, like, someone who's read a comic book that I met Mark Waid, they'd be like, oh, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I meet him, I'm like, yeah. Because I don't want to do that thing where I just completely nerd out and go, oh my god, you're awesome, oh my god, oh my god, and be like, embarrass myself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I want to like talk to them about shit and comics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to be meeting like Ed Brubaker next month at a place I'm going, and he's like my favorite writer ever. So I'm probably just going to turn into like jelly or something when I meet him,
right?
And be like,
right.
Completely freeze up.
Write down some questions, man. That's what I would do, because I know that my brain would...
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I know. That's like when I got to meet Grant Morrison. Like the first time I met him, he was standing... We were at the Superman panel, and I didn't meet him, man. I was like, I got this copy of All-Star Superman. I want Grant Morrison to sign it. Debbie's like, which one is that? I'm like, he's tall, blonde guy, or bald guy. And she's like, well, go up there. I'm like, I can't... Because there was Gail Simone, Scott Ian from Anthrax, fucking Keith Giffen, Grant Morrison, Jeff Johns.
Whoa.
Fuck else was there? Dan DiDio. They were all kind of talking over on the side waiting for the panel to start. And I was like, I kind of sat up and I'm like, I ain't fucking going over there. There's way too many people I like over there. My wife's like, takes the comic and goes up there and gets them to sign it. I was like, son of a bitch, I'm a pussy. But then there was a lineup the next day and I went and fucking sat in the lineup waiting for him. And that's when I got to him. I was like, I'm going to tell him how much I enjoyed all this. Thank you for killing Batman. That's all I could do. You haven't met anybody famous, Josh? Semi-comic famous?
No.
No? Just on the Twitter?
Yep.
Nice. Okay. Well, I guess that's a wrap, because, you know, that's all I got. I think Anthony cut out again on us, so...
No, I'm still here.
Oh, he's just listening. Just he's like, fuck, come on, let me go. All right. So that was the Comic Anvil episode 29. It took us a little bit to warm up, but we got into it, and...
Oh man, Anthony, are you tweeting me? You son bitch! You son bitch!
Oh, I gotta see this. Anyways,
damn you.
What the hell, man? What is this shit?
No, I'm looking at him. No, nothing like that.
Okay, so just so you guys are wondering, everybody, Anthony's Twitter handle is at Spidey Ellis. Spell it just like it sounds. Josh, his is at Josh RAJ9. I think that's supposed to be Raj, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. And mine is, never mind, I'm not going to tell you.
It's still Evil Pilgrim. Okay.
I think it reads Drunken Power Master of the Mountain Big Ruxpin, but whatever, you know. Look up Evil Pilgrim, you'll find me a little bit quicker that way. If Kyle was here, I'd give you his Twitter handle, but he's not.
Nobody cares about him.
Actually, it's just Kyle MC. And Rage. All right, guys.
The angel of love was upon me, and Lord, I felt so small. The legs beneath me weakened, I began to crawl.